We're in this together. We're in this together. We live out our faith together. We participate in life together. And whether we want to admit it or not, what we do affects somebody else. And I want you to know that every one of you got some incredible potential. And so part of our prayer is that your spiritual reality be released before you get out of here. That your spiritual reality be released before you get out of here. So let's pray. Lord, as Paul continues to reveal to us Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in a context that's very much like the one we face every day, Lord, we just pray now that we will be revealing the grace of God in the way we live and practice and do life. And God, I thank you that you love us even when we can't love ourselves. And Lord, I thank you that you are supreme judge and you are the final decision and we're not. And so, Lord, please forgive us when we talk more than we pray and we judge more than we love. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Man, Paul brings us an incredibly neat lesson today. Don't get caught up in what somebody else does, but do be caught up in what Jesus can do. How many of y'all are guilty of getting caught up in what leaders do? Well, Paul spent quite some time. Unfortunately, in today's time, it's real easy to follow the person that's bringing the message than it is the message. And really, it's falling deeply in love with Jesus because Jesus is the one that loves you. Make sense? I thank God every day for our staff. We're very privileged here at Hillview. We have a tremendous staff from top to bottom. And one of the things that makes our staff a great staff is not that they're incredibly talented or they have. It's not all that they have done. It's that they're willing to do this. They're servants. We all work together so that God might be revealed. And so one of the things that I really pray for you all is this. I pray that you will become a part of revealing the grace of God to the world through your area of life. And I'm convinced, Joanne, I'm convinced of this strategy. If we would all just live out the faith where God has placed us, then the world would be reached for Christ. But we tend to want to be a celebrity more than a servant. Hello? And I think the community of Christ is at a crucial part for this reason. The new social media has given people with little ability the ability to say a whole lot of their little. Did y'all get all that? You see, back when I grew up, to say something to the public, you had to go through an editor. We used to have these things called editors, and they would do editing. They would go, "That's stupid. We're not publishing that. Or that doesn't have any benefit. It's not going out." But now, with the advancement of social media, anything can be said about anybody at any time. Have you noticed? Without any regard to this, is it true? It was so funny. I wish all the things said about me, some of them I wish were true. I heard that I made $1.5 million a year. If that was the case, I'd be fishing on an island somewhere. People are incredibly gullible. Would you admit that? I mean, people got to be gullible. How else at late night TV could you sell a battery operated belt that you put around your waist and you're supposed to get a 6-pack in 6 months? Okay, only gullible people would believe that, right? And if you own one of those, hey, that's okay. We're going to have a time of repentance today, okay? It's the Lord, help me from being gullible. But watch this. It's easy to be conned when you want to be the star. It's easy to be conned when you want to be the star. And unfortunately, just like the Apostle Paul, I don't know how this happened, but I've been doing this now. I have been serving the church as a whatever kind of minister I am for 31 years. Also, 31 years, I mean, if I was in the Army, I'd be retired by now. If I was in education, I'd be retired by now. And I feel like we've just gotten started. And here's the thing. Unfortunately, just like Paul, we're in the church, and what's he dealing with? We've been in 4 chapters. 3 of those chapters heavily weighed on being jealous of one another. and watch out worshiping humans more than God. True? Don't follow Apollos or Cephas or Paul. It's about giving your life to who? Somebody say his name. Jesus. It's about Jesus, and we make it about other things. And Paul comes down and he says, now let's ask ourselves this question. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. This then is how you ought to regard us. Those that deliver the message, teach and preach in the church. How should you regard them? As servants of Christ. You know, it's interesting that those who really serve God ask nothing for themselves. Unfortunately, I've been involved with pastors for a long time. I've seen one of the things that makes me hostile. Y'all ever seen a pastor fleece the congregation? And they do it spiritually. It makes me want to just be obnoxious. Pastors that think they deserve something because God called them into ministry, like you deserve to pay for their meal, pay for your own meal, preacher. I've seen preachers say this, well, the Lord really needs me to have whatever item it is so the congregation will go buy them the item. I want you to know that that's not of God. That is not of God. And that's exactly what Paul's talking about here. You know, people get in love with other people, and our job is to be in love with who? Come on, somebody say it. Jesus. He said, this is who we are. Look at this. We ought to regard us as servants of Christ and those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now, let me let you in on something. Let's just get honest. Is everybody a leader? No. Most people are not what? Most people are not leaders. And in fact, the Bible doesn't call us into leadership. It calls us into followership. But we spent millions of dollars on leadership because we all want to be the leader. Because guess what? There's some people that think leadership is a glamorous role. You know who thinks that? People that have never been in leadership. There's nothing glamorous about it if you're going to take it serious. Serious leadership. I mean, we got a school superintendent here. Leon, how glamorous is that? Nobody has any idea what you deal with. But I'm going to help them understand your world. If you're a parent that's constantly fussing and griping at the school system because your child doesn't get it, multiply that by every parent like you, and that's what that leadership deals with. I wouldn't want you in Randall's job for love or money, because at least I can tell people they're going to hell. I can, without a relationship with Jesus. True? I mean, I'm being honest. Y'all are looking at me like some of our visitors are going, what? This is probably how some of these weird rumors get started. No, but we got to have a relationship that reveals Christ. It's all about Christ. Without Christ, we do end up in hell. True or false? Yeah. Okay, now watch. I want you to understand this too. Here's what we don't understand. Hell comes now as well as later. Just like heaven comes now as well as later. You don't follow the principles of God, you'll end up with hellish things in your life. You follow the principles of God, you end up with heavenly type things in your life. It even happens today. Why? Because Paul said, regard us as this. We are serving God so the mystery of Christ might be what? Revealed. Y'all got this? So guess what? You are a revelation. That's pretty neat, isn't it? You're to be a revelation. A revelation. In the kingdom of God. Isn't that amazing? You are a what? Revelation in the kingdom of God. Now, as leaders, we need to be servants. I just want to tell you, man, I'm thankful for our staff. I'm thankful for our folks because they're servants. We serve together. We got several really, really smart people, and they've done well academically. But you know what I love about the folks that I serve with that have done well academically? They don't flaunt that. That's not their job. Their job is to reveal Christ. Their job is not to show themselves, but to show God. Now, hold on for just a minute. If that was our aim of life, what Paul's saying here, we ought to be servants. However I'm living, I want to show God. If we took that mantra on our lives, would our lives change? What do you think, Kirk? I'm not just selling insurance. I'm exposing Jesus. A different way, isn't it? I'm not just married. I'm revealing Jesus. I'm not just a parent, but that in parenting, Barry, as you parent two now, adolescent daughters, you're revealing what? Jesus. They don't have any idea how much of the mercy of God you've applied on them, do they? But they will one day. May the Lord give them two teenage daughters. Amen. See what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? We reveal Christ in all that we do. How many of y'all realize it's about serving? It's about following. It's about loving. It's not about propping ourselves up. How many of y'all have gotten messed up because you propped yourself up? If you just started attending Hillview, please don't put our pastors on the pedestal. We have 100% guarantee we will disappoint you. We're very human here. I do human things. I mess up. Sometimes I say very human things. See what I'm saying? It's about loving God. I hope that you meet Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Knowing Pastor Steve Ayers, that will amount to nothing. But knowing Jesus Christ amounts to everything. And our lives must be in such a way that we're passionately engaged letting people know that Jesus is Lord. Make sense? That doesn't mean you don't do great things. It means you do great things and may Jesus be praised. But you see, I see in the church today, there's not great things in Jesus be praised. It's great things and may I be praised. And so be careful, because when we get in that mode, it doesn't last. How many of y'all glad to know that Jesus lasts? That's why, I'm just going to tell y'all right now, I'm not going to jump on the shame and guilt and legalistic pain train. If some of y'all are trying to get me to go that direction, I want to lovingly tell you, I will never be involved in religious legalism. Never. Because if that's Jesus Christ, I don't want to have anything to do with Him. But it's not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is full of love and relationship and new life, not regulation and mundane rule following. You say, well, Pastor Ayers, I take issue with you. Well, take issue, my friends. Jesus came, and the Jews were full of rules at that moment of time, laws and regulations, but Jesus came, and He fulfilled those regulations, not with more rules, did He, Tim, but with a grace-filled relationship that's out of this world. Hillview, we take a lot of knocks in this city for this reason. Grace. We've let people over the years come to church that shouldn't be in church. I don't know who these folks are talking about, but they talk about those folks. You know what Jesus says? He doesn't call you those folks. He calls you whosoever. Yes. Jesus doesn't call you lost. He calls you yet to be found. Isn't that cool? And we will always have a heart for the yet to be found. Is that cool? Yet to be found. Yet to be found by God. Yet to be found. I think of that lost sheep. That lost sheep didn't know he's lost until the shepherd found him. And then he knew what? That he could have a different life. Be careful. Be a servant. Jesus was a servant. Isn't that neat? Jesus could have blew everybody up on the cross, but he died and forgave us of our sins. True or false? If Jesus wanted to show his power, could he have shown his power? And he was even being tempted, girl. I'm glad I wasn't Jesus, because I'd have messed all of us up. I mean, if I had that thief on my side mouthing at me and I was on the cross, he said, why don't you call down a legion of angels? I'd have just gone and blew him right off his cross. And then I said, y'all want to see a legion of angels? All right, I'm fixing to bring that bad boy right down here. But you know what? Guess what, Kyle, would not have been accomplished? Grace, forgiveness, and new life. You see, there's an absolute reality. Anytime we promote ourselves, we will always miss the glory of God. Anytime we promote a design structure from humanity over a God-given relationship in Jesus Christ, we once again are reminded we fall short. Our structure will never live up to His grace. And Paul knew that. So he said, regard us as servants. And if you're going to talk about us, you're going to talk about us. And then he says this, now it is required that those who've been given a trust must prove faithful. And one of the things about leadership is you got to prove faithful. You can't just say it. Eventually, you got to what? You got to do it. You got to be it. We deal with a lot of young pastors around here, and I'm glad we get to. And you know what? Some of them have proven faithful, and some of them have proven unfaithful. Not the ones we got now. This was a pretty good crew. They finally made it through the straining. But leadership takes time. You'll have to watch this. It's a word we don't want to use today. prove yourself. Which is, I trust my daddy. Why? Or and or and or again, as the old hymn goes. My mama, I don't doubt a thing she says, because you know what? I know it's always been prayed over. Do I trust all of you? Lord, no. Do all of y'all trust me? No. Some of you see, believe more what you hear than what you've seen. I'm the opposite. I don't believe what I hear right off the bat. I watch. See what I'm saying? I don't want to hear your rhetoric. I want to see. Now watch this. And these young pastors hate this. I said, we'll see what's in your box down the road a few years. You know what? Because they hate it when I tell them this. Fig trees never lie. Fig trees never lie. Because you either have fruit on the vine or on the limb, or you'll just be a bunch of leaves. And Jesus doesn't like leaves. He likes figs. But you see, to be a fig tree, you got to drop your leaves to produce fruit. In fig trees, I don't know if you've ever seen a fig tree. They're not real pretty. Have you noticed that? They're kind of gnarly looking. And I don't know, you ladies that decorate a lot, I guarantee you none of you have ever put out a bowl of figs with a flower in the middle of it as a table setting. Now, you might have put some fig Newtons out, but I'm talking about just figs by themselves. See, most of you are Americans. The only fig you know is a Newton. But just a fig. Remember Jesus cursed the tree that didn't bear fruit? We talked about that. We talked about that in Holy Week. Now, note, be careful. You got to be proven faithful. Well, that takes a lifetime. I care very little if I'm judged by you or any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. Paul had come to this conclusion. The grace of God that is in me is so strong, I don't even know how to judge myself. How many of y'all need to quit judging yourself and start living more for Christ? I hear this all the time. You younger generation, the ones that are just right below me, listen, get out of this crazy that we were into in my generation. I've heard this a zillion times. How many ever that is, it's a lot. Well, Pastor, if I could just forgive myself, it'd all be all right. Okay, you forgive yourself. What's changed? Come on, I know some, I'm not going to point you out, but some of you have said that. My life would be better if I could just forgive myself. So you forgive yourself and what? You still go to hell. Thank you. I can tell you attend Hillview. Let's just get to the point. But no, you do. Watch this. And you watch this. If you're going to believe that forgiving yourself leads to some kind of prosperous life, guess what's going to happen? You're going to forgive yourself and you're going to still find hell. Because we don't have the power to restore our lives by ourselves. Paul realized that. He said, I did all I could do, and I found that what Jesus did in me was stronger than all I could do. He'd studied. I see some of y'all get so disappointed. You memorize all the right verses, and you still have a hellish life. And here's why. You never breathe them in. Even the devil knows all the Bible verses. By the way, just in case you get real impressed with your Bible verse ability, if you have a third grade educational ability, you can memorize verses. It takes the grace of God to live them. I mean, it's easy to say, God is love. It takes grace to be the love of God. Y'all see how that works? It's easy to make statement. And Paul said, I won't even make judgment on myself because God is greater than I am. God is more merciful than I am. And God knows more than I do. How many of y'all that far along? God just might know more than I do. And I want to give you a way to live here. You are the revealing of God's grace to the world. You're a follower of Jesus. Don't forget that title. So, well, I'm a daddy that follows Jesus. Well, I'm a mama that what? Follows Jesus. I'm a business lady that I'm a golfer. I'm a hunter that good football player. Good looking woman. Good. Why y'all get quiet on that? Some of y'all ought to profess, I'm a good looking woman. No, you say, well, that'd be arrogant and self-promotion. Yeah, probably would. But you follow Jesus. Barry, you don't just do landscaping. What do you do?
as a businessman that happens to landscape. You're not going to landscape in heaven. You're not. It's already done, and they won't allow sprinkler systems in hell, so where's that put you? Huh? No, we're not. Which is, I'm going to give you good news. I'm not, there will be no preaching in heaven. Why? Don't know why. It's already decided. I won't have a job in heaven, thank God. Now, I didn't say there won't be any preachers in heaven. I said there'll be no what? Preaching in heaven. Because it's already what? Done. Which is, every preacher you see now won't be in heaven. Because guess what some of them decided to do? Preach what they thought over what God said. God's going to say some tough things. The next four chapters, we're going to go through some tough things in 1 Corinthians. Go ahead and read that. We're going to deal with things like this that we don't like to deal with in America. We're going to talk about being adulterous, worshiping things other than God. We're going to talk about being liars. What's one of the things that our nation does on a constant basis? We've all participated. How many of y'all have ever told a lie? Okay, good. The ones with your hands up, go ahead and raise yours now. See, we'll lie to save face. And Paul said, man, I'm going to tell the truth because I'm not even going to judge myself. I'm going to leave judgment up to God. I want to leave you with this today, this message today. I hope it burns in your hearts and I hope you will heed to it. You will live it out. I believe we've come to a time we need to pray more and judge less. Because I think we live in a nation that prays very little and judges a whole lot. What do you think? And I'm telling you, man, we need to pray. We need to pray for people. We need to know that they can get better. I'm going to preach for just a moment here. How many of you are thoroughly convinced that God Almighty in Jesus Christ, and Jesus is the Son of God, and He can change any human situation going on at the moment? How many of y'all believe that to the core of your being? Boy, I do. Well, just if I didn't believe that was true, I wouldn't preach to you. I believe Jesus can change any situation that's going on in humanity. But man, I think we got to pray more and judge less. What do you think? Here's what Paul said. Now listen, guys, I want to warn you. There's sectors of the church. It's nothing new. It's old history. It always comes around. Paul was dealing with it. Beware of judgmental people. Now, I've never in my life come to you and been so strong a warning to you. But I want to give you a warning. Do not get captured by people who tend to tell you more of what they think than what God has absolutely said. Now, guess what you're going to need? Bible study, Bible study, Bible study. And here's why you need, and you need to know what Jesus said. Because Jesus doesn't say the stuff that a lot of theologians say. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus do? How did Jesus prove faithful? Let me ask you a question. Y'all remember that story over in John 8? Woman caught in adultery. Was Jesus grace-giving or judgmental? You know, we got a lot of churches in our area that would have kicked that woman out. They would have given her the high ho and said, you an old whore. They'd have called her an evil name and they kicked her out. They would. That's what they'd have said about it. And if they wouldn't have said it to her face, it's even worse. They would have said it behind her back. They would have sent it in social media. I want to tell you, if that's your attitude to life, you have no understanding who Jesus is. I don't care what denominational brand you wear. I don't care what theology you adhere to. I don't care what lifestyle you think you're living. If that's your understanding to other human beings, you don't have a clue to who Jesus Christ is. Because Jesus Christ wants to make people better. How many of y'all believe that? Jesus Christ judges not, restores. Now, I want you to know something that God won't do. Hear me. God does not tolerate sin. He forgives it. Now, be very careful because what we're doing in our nation, we're replacing forgiveness and new life with toleration. Don't get suckered by that sucker punch. Toleration is not forgiveness. Toleration leads to death. Redemption leads to what? Life. How many of y'all have ever been around children that their parents tolerate them? Boy, aren't they a joy? My son the other day, he was cracking me up. He said, Dad, I had this kid. He came into my office. He threw all the papers off my desk And his mother just laughed. He goes, we got a crazy world. He said, I was thinking to myself, self, if I'd have come into somebody's office and my father was standing there, I said, you would have been in the next office. Because you see, I didn't tolerate his behavior. And so he didn't have those kind of behaviors because they weren't what, brother? Tolerated. When you go in another man's office or another woman's office, that's their stuff. You keep your hands off of it. You stand there. You're 6 years old. Nobody wants to hear what you've got to say. You be quiet till you're spoken to. If you speak, you could die. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know how psychologically damaged he is, but he seems to be functioning okay as a young adult. Because I didn't buy this stuff from these parents, all this jazz, whatever. Put your kids in time out. Lift up their self-esteem. I knew mine would not have a self-esteem problem because I knew who their daddy was. But if I'd have tolerated their ineffectiveness, I would have encouraged their ineffectiveness. So we built a whole nation of self-elevated humans. How's it going? We've built two generations of self-elevated people. How's it going? Maybe it's time for us to come back to what God has said, yes. And like Paul says, I'm not even going to judge myself. I'm going to trust God for judgment. I'm going to listen to God for judgment. Let me wrap it up here, man. God's got a great message for us today. Pray more, judge less. Look what he said. I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. How many of you all are not innocent? Raise your hand if you're not innocent. Thank you. The reason I get you to raise your hand is because there's people that are guests in our church, and there's people that actually think y'all are perfect. Yeah, I say the same thing, Cindy, but they've never been to church. And there's still this rumor that perfect people go to church. And the reason people believe these rumors is they've never been to church. And they think we're nice and we're sweet and we're kind always. That's not true. We're humans that follow Jesus. Sometimes we get it right, and sometimes we get it what? But part of grace is realizing I'm not innocent and God will forgive me. None of us. None of us are innocent. Frank, you and I have lived in Kentucky all our life, and we'll hear this. How many times? Well, now, Frank, I'm a good man. I'm a good old boy. Problem is, good old boys aren't innocent. True or false? I was a good old boy, but I wasn't innocent. Now, when we get down to innocent, that changes it, doesn't it? My mama thought I was good. Watch this. But my mama would never say I was innocent. My mama knew the truth. Somebody asked her, did he do that? She would answer it like this. He's capable. Huh? I'm not sure if he did, but he's what? How many of y'all are capable? So that's why we got to be careful when we start judge people, because you know what? I'm capable of the same stupid you are. How many of y'all are capable of the same stupid as somebody else? It might be better to love them, amen? Look at here. Let's wrap it up. Be careful. The only way our innocence is regained is through Jesus forgiving us. It is, watch this, it is the Lord who judges me. Now, I want to tell you why we can't judge. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. Now, here's why you and I don't judge well. We don't see far enough along to make judgment. I told you a couple weeks ago that occasionally I get lost driving. Joseph, one thing I never do is admit that I'm lost. My wife will go, the wife and the GPS are yelling at me. Turn around, turn around, turn around. How many of you realize that GPS girl, she ain't never been to Kentucky. Sheriff, she ain't never been to Kentucky. Now, she knows some roads, but she don't know little shortcut roads when you're in the back of the Kentucky that connect you to a major highway. I know some of those roads from my youth.
I learned them to turn around and turn off and to turn off again and turn off again to turn off again in case there was some law enforcement people that were gathering with us as we were running cars on Friday night. You needed to know where other roads were. Amen. Since I had had some experience in these other roads, one day, Elizabeth and I going somewhere, and we're back in a little town in Kentucky, a little county in Kentucky, and I knew this back way, and I start turning through the back way, and she starts judging me. You are going to get, we got to be there on time. The GPS is going, you turn at the next available mile, a mile and a half. Man, sometimes I just want to shoot that thing. I knew where I was going, but everybody else thought I was going the wrong way. At least, the GPS chick and my wife were in agreement. Both of them were against me at the same time. So I go through this little road, pop out another little road, turn by this country store, then up by the old Chevy truck, and boom, I pop out on Highway 79. And Elizabeth goes, how'd you do that? I said, because I knew what you didn't know. Surprise. Now, the reason I relished in that moment, this was one of two times in 28 years of marriage since this ever happened. So for a moment, I felt like she felt. But you see, God knows where our road ends before we do. And I never will forget this. I've just now understood this. I was younger when I came to Hillview, much younger than now. I used to quote that scripture with such great fervor, and I still do with great fervence, but it has different understanding to me. Jesus said the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy, but Eric Jesus said, but I've come that you might have a full and abundant life. Chris Allen, I used to think that a full and abundant life was 75 degrees, no humidity every day. I bet you did too when you was down there in Nashville and had long hair. Listened to rock and roll music, and went to a Pentecostal church. What an oxymoron you were. But didn't you think a full and abundant life meant sunshiny day every day? Older lady in our church when I started Hillview, she said, Pastor?
I said, yes, ma'am.
She said, a full and abundant life means this. No matter what I experience in life, God will be there. And to have a full life, you must have sorrowful times and joyful times, and you will come to realize that the Lord is over all time. She was much deeper than a young seminary graduate. She had the ability to understand that the Lord was the Lord of all things. I had been to the schoolhouse. She had been to school. She had learned that life was full and abundant no matter what her encounter, because Jesus would be Lord no matter what. So today I encourage you, pray more, judge less, trust God always. Can you remember that? Pray more, judge less, trust God what? Always. I just want to give you a heads up. Be careful with very judgmental people who say they're following Jesus Christ. That ought to warn you right there. I'm just telling you what I've learned. I'm a little wiser now, so when we go through battles, we get a little bit different battle commands than we did in my early days. Used to, I just draw the sword. Now I leave it in the sheath a whole lot more. Still have to pull it every once in a while. But when it hits, it's effective. Don't pull it till Jesus says what? Pull it. Judge less, pray more, and trust God always. Can y'all remember that? Because you know what? Here's what he says. This is good news. How many of you realize in the end you're going to get it? How'd that hit you? In the end, everybody gets it. Harvey, that's good news, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
What do you get in the end? No, it's not hope. I know you're going to heaven because you asked Jesus Christ to come in your life. I was there, remember? Yes. I baptized you, remember?
Yes, sir.
You didn't have hair before I baptized you, too, because I don't want people to be scared.
No, I didn't make all your hair fall out. Look at that. Harvey, watch this. You realize that God had fallen in love with you. You received his grace, and you don't have a hope for heaven. You have a certainty of heaven. You're going to get heaven when you're finished. Raj, what are you going to get when you're finished? Heaven. Not because of what you said, but what Jesus said. Y'all understand how powerful this is? So if that be true, Richard, you get heaven. Why? Because you were a great engineer? Oop. Because Jesus Christ is a great God. Amen. Scott, you get heaven. Why? Because you opened up the buddy house with a crew of great people? Or because Jesus opened the buddy house up in you? There you go. Now you get it. To God be the glory. Remember that old hymn? For great things he has done. Wow. Let me tell you, we all get it. I see some of you went, man, I'm going to get it. Yeah. If you're in the grace of God, you're going to get the grace of God. If you've lived a hellish existence and ignored everything that Jesus has said and not really pledged allegiance to the grace of God in your life, then guess what? You will get hell. Because look, God knows the motives of the heart, and he alone will expose them. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. So I got a plan. Why don't we encourage each other to be the best followers of Jesus Christ we can, and then let's just praise God. Let's not praise each other. Because nowhere in the Bible does it say praise each other. It says encourage one another and praise who? Jesus. And I think in that way the grace of God will be revealed to a whole lot of folks. What do y'all think? Amen? Amen. Well, guess what? I got great news today. You do not have to go to hell. How many of y'all are happy about that? Anybody happy about that? You do not have to go to hell. You do not have to go to hell. If you have never received the Lord Jesus Christ, I have good news. He's available. The grace of Jesus Christ is available to you. He died on a cross. He's risen from a grave. That's absolute fact. And so, Pastor Ayers, academically, I take issue with you. We're talking about a great God. Do you think God's impressed with professors? He loves them. He's not impressed with them. He's not impressed with me. He's not impressed with the schools I went to. He's not impressed with my alphabet. He's in love with my soul. Jesus, lover of our souls. So today, some of you need to do this. You need to say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know I've sinned against God. I need you in my life. Lord Jesus, come into my what? Life. He's going to do it. He'll even save people from Connecticut. Isn't that crazy? And he'll fill them with the grace of God, the hope of the Lord, and the potential of heaven. Man, that is awesome. So I'm going to ask you to do something today. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I pray that you will deeply say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. You got to repent. That means this. I'm going to walk away from what I was to walk into what I can be. It works, doesn't it? That's repentance. I'm going to walk away from what I was to walk in grace to what I can be. And so here's what's so cool. Everybody's still being right now. If you don't mind, look at your neighbor and go, you are being. Did I get those verbs right? I think I did. You are being. You're being what Christ made you to be. And it's still unfolding. And you and I are revelation. And listen, I'm going to ask God that you get understanding of this today. Joining Jesus Christ today is the start of God's revealed life in you. That's pretty cool, isn't it? People panic at baptism. You know what I mean? They go like, oh, Pastor, if I get baptized and I sin after I get baptized, I go, well, you're probably going to. But you're going to get through that sin no matter what. Make sense? You're going to have now the power to live differently. So I encourage you, if you haven't had that today, that you experience Jesus Christ. If you haven't been baptized yet, what am I going to tell you to do? Why? Thank you, Mr. Ward. That's what he said, do. Why do I teach baptism? I heard a declaration this week that baptisms weren't important. Really?
wish people would read the Bible. The only number mentioned in Acts 2 was baptisms. Apparently, that was pretty important.
That amazed you, Dr. Earl, that the only number the Holy Spirit brings forth in the second chapter of Acts 2 is not the size of the crowd or how many attended Bible study afterwards or what kind of potluck they had, but they were baptized. So I got a hunch that this is after Jesus resurrected, that baptisms are pretty serious to God. What do you think? And you know what? I know that Jesus Christ is madly in love with you. And so if you haven't been baptized, follow that up in obedience. Thank you all for being here today. Thank you for worshiping today. Anybody learn anything today? How many of y'all are going to at least attempt this? Just tempt it for a week. Tell me next week. Catch me in the atrium and say, man, that went pretty good. Pray more, judge less, trust God what? Always. You can do that, can't you, Sheriff? Yeah. We pray a lot for you, Sheriff. You get prayed over. Every time I'm driving down the road and see one of your cars, I pray that I'm not going too fast. See what I'm saying? We're going to have a lot of prayer in the month of May. Month of May is one of the largest prayer months in the world. Why? Finals. Universities all over America are praying. Okay? In public universities, they're praying to God. It's interesting. That's who they pray to, too. God Almighty, that they would pass. God usually answers back, should have started talking to me in January. But guess what? And then you have prayers after finals. Dear God, may my parents be full of your grace, your forgiveness, and your mercy, that they will continue to support my education after this national disaster this semester. I don't know. They're not God. Sometimes they're forgiving. Sometimes they're not. But maybe they've heard the sermon today. Pray more, judge less, trust God what? Always. Well, let's pray. If you don't mind, if you would stand with me, thank you for being here today. Thank you for loving God every day. Lord Jesus, in this moment, we have the privilege, the opportunity to open up an altar. Lord, I pray now for those that have never asked Christ into their life. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would draw them to understand grace, that you would help them comprehend what you want, Jesus. And so if you've never done this, tell the Lord, Lord, I know I've sinned. I need to be forgiven. I trust that you are the Son of God. I trust that you died on a cross. I trust that you've risen from the grave. And Lord, I want you in my life. Jesus, come into my life. I promise you, he will never refuse that from a repentant heart. So ask him into your life. If you've never done that, we're going to ask you to come forward. Y'all can look at me. We're going to ask you to come forward because we love you and we want to connect with you and we want to give you some info and we want you to live out your faith. Y'all okay with that? We're in this what? Together. For how long, Robert? Forever. So we might as well learn to get along. Isn't that right? Dr. Angela, we're in this forever. So we might as well learn how to get along. And so if you haven't been baptized, we want to talk to you about baptism. Now, if you want to come and pray for healing, this altar is open for healing. How many of y'all might need to pray this? Lord, I've been a little too judgmental, and I probably need to let you take care of so-and-so instead of me trying to take care of so-and-so. If you're married to them, it will help your marriage. It will help you in your relationship with your children. I don't have to say much to grandparents about forgiveness, because what do grandparents automatically do? If we would all act like grandparents in the church, we would understand God. Lord, bring us forward. Bring us to a new life. Bring us to baptism. Bring us to salvation. Bring us to healing. But most of all, bring us to be the servants you've already made us to be. And let the world see Jesus in the way we worship and pray and learn and love and the way we're with each other. Lord, thank you that you forgive us when we're not smart. And you love us through it. And you restore our souls. We do not go thirsty or hungry because you're our God. So church, come and pray. Let's come and talk. Let's come and love for a moment at this altar. And as you come, may the Holy Spirit just touch you. Thank you, Lord.
Come on, if you need to talk about baptism, you've just received Christ, you know, Jesus in your life. We want to talk to you about that. Thank you for coming right now. Thank you, Lord.
In the quiet, in the stillness, I know that you are God. In the secret of your presence, I know there I am restored. When you call, I won't.
Pray with me, man. God's moving. Lord, anybody else needs to come forward and receive Christ today, we pray that this altar be loosed. We pray that we do not resist what you ask us to do today, that we pray, that we love, that we embrace you. So if you need to talk about baptism, Pastor Jamie's right here. I'm right here. Pastor Angela's right here. If you've received Christ, we pray, please don't leave here not saved. Why would you leave here not saved? Huh? Look at me. Why? I can't beg you to be saved, but I can ask you this question. This is permissible. Why would you hear the good news of God and turn away from it? You will not make it on your own. You can get mad at me. And I sleep. Because the Lord will judge me stronger pleasing you than not telling you what he said. Any person here, you know what I know? Not everybody in this room knows Christ. Not everybody in this room has been saved. Not everybody in this room has been baptized. I already know that. But I'm going to ask you today, man, don't step away from God. You say, Pastor, why are you getting so fired up right now? I don't know. I watch the news. And we're just at a different moment of history. There's some things tightening down closer and quicker than I thought they would. So, if you need to be baptized, you need to be saved, you come right now. We're going to hold the altar open for about 2 minutes, and then we're going to change it out. So Pastor Jamie's there. God bless y'all.